Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome to the podium this morning. I'm going to read out a bio, if you haven't read it already, on my blog. But she is from the US of A, and I don't know if I can say that properly because she's from Kentucky, but she's got a beautiful accent. Rachel Rogers is the Director of Development for World Media Group, located in Louisville, Kentucky, which is the parent company for television and radio stations nationwide. Her vast experience in television production has taken her all over the world, including Haiti, India, Indonesia, South Korea, Sri Lanka, Jordan, Israel, and many other countries. She also is the media director for Evangel World Prayer Center in Louisville, and is chief creative designer for a print and publication house that distributes around the world. Currently, her newest undertaking, my goodness, is undertaking is the Holy Land Broadcasting, which she resides as president. HLB is the host company that owns Nativity TV, located in Bethlehem, Israel, and HLB USA affiliate networks. Please welcome Rachel Rogers.
Good morning. I am so honored to be here. At home, I'm obviously from Louisville, Kentucky, and so in the morning services, we say, good morning, family. And so, good morning, family, because I feel right at home today. Amen. Who's excited to be in the house of God today? Amen. Amen. Before I get started, the Lord gave me a promise this morning, and so I want everyone in here that is planning to go to the conference this week to stand up. If you're planning to go to the conference this week, stand up. I just want to give you a scripture that the Lord impressed upon me this morning. It's found in Habakkuk 2:2. And it says, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it." This week, God is going to stir up that vision in you. He's going to stir up that dream that God's planted in your life. And what you need to do is you need to write it down. Because it's one thing when God tells you something. It's when you get a prophecy or you get a word. But you need to write it down so you can remember it. And then you run after it. Amen? Amen. I'm going to pray for you. Father God, I just thank you for each and every person this week. God, I thank you that a stirring is going to happen. Lord, a new outpouring of your Holy Spirit in dreams and visions. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I bring you greetings from Louisville, Kentucky. I am a newbie to Australia, and so this is my first time. It's my father's first time, and we are so excited to be here. Last year, my father was supposed to come, and he had an accident. He had a biking accident, and so he wasn't able to come, but he is healed, and we are here this year, and we're just so honored to be here. And your pastor, give a warm welcome for your, or welcome, give an applause for your pastor, because they are awesome. They are awesome. I'm a little background on our family. My dad's a pastor in Louisville, Kentucky. His dad was a pastor in Louisville. And years ago, when my grandfather was pastoring, they were helplessly in debt. They had so much debt, they weren't able to pay the bills. They thought they were going to have to close the doors. And so my grandpa came in one day, and he said, "How many believe that God can save a millionaire and come to our church and pay tithes and just pay everything off?" And everybody thought that was a great idea. And so they all stood up, and they believed, and they prayed, and that was that. So the next week, my grandpa gets up and he's praying and he gives the altar call. And out came this little white-haired man with a white suit and a black string bow tie and a little cane. And he came and sat right down on the front row, and he was the first one to the altar. And it was Colonel Harlan Sanders of Kentucky Fried Chicken. And he was the first person down the altar, and he got crazy saved. And if anybody knew the colonel, he had a cuss like nobody else. And so he would get up one Sunday and he'd be like, that was the blankety blank best sermon I've ever heard. But God saved him and miraculously changed everything around. And so that next Sunday he comes in and he said, Pastor, do you need some tithe money? And he wrote out a check and he paid off the church, paid off every bill. My dad worked for him for years, traveled the world. And so it was a huge answer to prayer. So that's a little background on our church and the history in Kentucky. And so, amen. We're glad to be here. Yeah. Who's ready to get into the word? Yeah. Amen. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. And when you got it, say, I got it. If you can't understand me, say, slow down. I was with Pastor Barry yesterday. He was taking us around the city and it was raining and we went up to Kings Park and he's giving all the history and I'm leaning up. I'm trying to understand everything that he's saying. So I know sometimes if I'm talking too fast, just say, slow down. All right. You got the word? All right. Starting in verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I have given to you, as said unto Moses. From the wilderness unto this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea towards going down of the sun shall be your property. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance to the land which I swore to their fathers to give. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Lord, I just pray over your word today. God, I just thank you that such a sweet spirit of your anointing is in this house tonight or this morning. And so, Lord, I just thank you that you would just encourage, Lord, that you would strengthen, Lord, that you would speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I have been to Israel probably over 40 times. I have an office over there. And so being in the land and knowing the country of Israel, you kind of have a better understanding for the stories and the scriptures that are in the Bible. And so there's an importance to land. You hear in the news of Israel and giving away of the land. And it's the land is so important. There's something settling about owning land, about owning your own place. You don't have to rent it. You don't have to fear of being evicted, but you own it. I don't know how it is here in Australia, but in the U.S., there's something settling about owning your own place. When you have land, it's worth something. It's wealth. It's money. God said to Israel, I have given you this land. I have given you this land as your inheritance. This is money. This is wealth that I'm giving to you because it's yours. You're my children. I'm giving it to you. In biblical times, there was a huge barter system. If you had land, you were rich. You were a rich man. You were wealthy. So the barter system, you had to have something to trade. It either fed on the land or it grew on the land. It fed on the land or it grew on the land. So many, I hear that your big crop is wheat. Is that correct? So the wheat grows and you have sheep, the sheep graze. So if you think about that, they graze and they grow. You had to have something to be able to barter with. The other day, Fox News reported that America has not turned away from God. They've just turned away from going to church. And I was watching, and I just thought that was so interesting. You have the millennials and the younger generation that have found church uninterested, and they'll watch it, or they'll you know, have some type of connection, and they believe in God, so they say, but there's not that community. Well, the idea that it's not okay to come to church consistently is a lie, because it's where you get fed and it's where you grow. It's where you graze and it's where you grow. It's biblical to come to church and have a community of believers that can strengthen you, that you can be accountable to. You know, it's one thing to just be on your own, but you need somebody that's going to keep you accountable. Say, hey, let me help you. You're struggling here. Hey, I see that you're going through this. Let me help you along. So number one, you have to be planted. Say, I have to be planted. When we were driving up to Kings Park the other day, we didn't get out of the car because it was raining. It was raining in the morning. But we saw all these beautiful flowers. And I'm sure that those flowers didn't just pop up overnight. They had to be planted. And it took time. It took time to plant the flowers. It took time to water the flowers. It took time to toil the ground and to pull out the weeds. But then it grows, and it grows into something beautiful. Impatient people never inherit the kingdom of God. Say that. Say, impatient people never inherit the kingdom of God. Your life and the dreams and the call of God that he's put on your life is not the same as going through a fast food restaurant. It's not just handed to you. It's something that you have to work out in yourself. You have to go through things. You have to go through struggles. You have to go through things that are going to work out all the junk in your life. And once you're planted and once you're growing and once you're seated, God's going to flourish you. Amen? So the children of Israel are homeless. They have no place to go. They're homeless emotionally, they're homeless spiritually, they're homeless physically. And there's something about being homeless and no place to go. Back in Kentucky, we have many outreach ministries, and one of those is called the Corner of Hope. And in the Corner of Hope, we have another ministry that's called the Lord's Kitchen. It's a feeding kitchen, much like you all have here. But the Corner of Hope deals with drug and recovery, and also deals with homeless veterans. And so many times when veterans have come out of war, they have major PTSD and they aren't able to function, and they have drug related issues and whatnot. And so a Corner of Hope is able to give them a place to live that's their own, free of charge. They're just there to be blessed. And so there was a guy that came, and it was his first time he'd had a place to live in over 5 years. And he comes back, and we have a ministry team that comes in, and they put everything new, and they paint the walls, and they get new bedding, and they get new flooring, and it's this beautiful place that's for them. And so this guy comes in, and he's just weeping. He has no family. And he said, I've been living on the streets for 5 years with no place to call my own, and I finally have a mailbox. And so to think of someone that's homeless, and to think of the children of Israel that were homeless. So many times we read the scriptures and we think that this different mentality of they didn't have the same emotions that we may feel, and it was a different time, and it was a different place, but we're the same. It doesn't matter what age, what period, you still have the same feelings and the emotions and whatnot. So the children of Israel are homeless. They're homeless spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And when you're homeless spiritually, you're a hopper. You jump around. That's why it's so important to be planted. When you're planted, you're not a hopper. You're not hopping from from vase to vase, or from planted here to being planted there. You're stable. You're in a stable environment. That's why it's so important when you find a church, you're faithful to that church. You're faithful to that pastor. You're faithful to that body of believers, because God has planted you there, and you don't move until God calls you to. Amen. Amen. Emotionally homeless is when you have all kinds of love to give, but you have no one to give it to. You have all of this emotion that you want to give, but it's not quite right. So the children of Israel were in Egypt for 430 years, 30 years of which they were a guest. But after those 30 years, a Pharaoh comes up who knew not Joseph, knew not his God. And so they come in as a guest, and now they're a slave. They're enslaved to the very people who invited them. So for 400 years, 10 generations, they're in Egypt. They don't remember their customs. They're trying to remember what it was from their great, 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 great grandfather. They're coming back to the land. So the second thing is that freedom costs something. Say, freedom costs something. So the story, and just as we've read it, God raises up Moses. He comes to deliver the children out of Egypt. He had great signs, great miracles. Who could be like Moses? But freedom costs something. In order for you to be free, it's gonna pay a price. You know, you can be free, but not free indeed. You can be saved and not sanctified. How many people have ever met somebody who's saved but not quite sanctified? So freedom costs something. So the children of Israel were in pursuit of that freedom. The one that they had followed, that led them out, their Savior, was dead. There was no coming back. They didn't know where they were going, what they were doing. But the promise was there. The promise of the promised land was there, but who was going to lead them out? The mourning, it says that the mourning was so great, they mourned for a month. Their pastor, their leader. Who can take us all the way? Who can be like Moses? You read about Joshua early in the scripture because he was a fighter. He was a warrior. But he was only good under Moses. He was only good under Moses' anointing. And so the children of Israel, they didn't know who was going to lead them out. They didn't know who they were going to follow. So Joshua is recommended. Well, Joshua, why Joshua? Joshua, can you do miracles like Moses? Can you throw your staff on the ground and it turns into a snake? Well, no. Can you heal us like Moses? He held the serpent in the wilderness and everyone got healed. Well, no, I can't do that. You'll have to go to the pharmacy. How is it when you're trying to measure up to someone else's miracles? You know, there's so many times everywhere, not just back in the States, but I'll use the United States, for example, because I have so many fellow pastors' kids and whatnot, that they grow up in the church and they grow up under their parents' ministry and their parents' anointing. And everybody looks to the kids to have the same anointing as their dad, to have the same calling and operate the same and do all these things the same. But that's not how it works, because God has made you an original. He's made you so different than anybody else that's ever been created. Jeremiah said that, I knew you before you were born. I knew you in the womb. I called you. I called you to the nations. You're so different that your fingerprint, your hair, your DNA is only for you. So God said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I won't do through you what I did in Moses. I'm not going to do the same miracles that I did in Moses, but I'm going to be with you as I was with Moses. I did not call you to be a cheap copy of a great original. I'm going to say that again. I have not called you to be a cheap copy of a great original. How many times have you watched a sequel to a movie that you're just like, it's not quite as good as the first? When you constantly are comparing yourself to someone else, God can't do through you what he's called you to do. I'll say that again. When you keep comparing yourself to someone else, when you keep comparing yourself to your ministry or your calling and trying to be somebody else that you're not, God can't do through you what he's called you to do. Amen? So God said to Joshua, you can't imitate Moses. There's never going to be another Moses. Other prophets have I spoke to, but Moses I spoke to face to face. I won't be meeting you on the mountain. I won't be setting any mountains on fire. I won't be giving you any Ten Commandments, but I will be with you as I was with Moses. How many times has God called you to do something that you're like, man, this is hard. Lord, you've called me to do this. You didn't tell me it was going to be this hard. You never know that it's going to be that hard once you start going in the process, because if you knew, you'd never do it in the first place. How many married couples do we have here? I just celebrated my second wedding anniversary. So go ahead and congratulate me. Yes. I hear that the first 2 years are the hardest. But the struggles that you go through as a married couple, and if you knew all those things before, would you still get married? And most of the stories are yes, but some, you know, I don't know. But the things that God has called you to do, he didn't say they were going to be easy. He didn't say that he was just going to roll out the red carpet and you just walk right on. Amen. There's going to be some struggles. There's going to be some obstacles. I have a friend of mine I was having breakfast with a couple weeks ago, and she was talking about the things that she had gone through with her daughter, and she had gone through a horrible divorce, and she had two kids, and one child was diagnosed with epilepsy, and then she got cancer, and just all of these things. Grown up in the church and wonderful, wonderful person. She said, you know, she said, I've grown up in a spirit-filled church my whole life. I've been taught the word my whole life. And I feel like that I was given this information at some point that it only takes a second for God to heal you. It only takes a split second for God to change your situation. And that's true. But in order for me to be an overcomer, I have to overcome some things. And that was the greatest revelation to me. And as I'm sitting here and I'm listening to her, I just thought, wow. What a revelation. In order for you to be an overcomer, because it says in the scripture, the overcomers will inherit the kingdom of God. The more you overcome, God's going to elevate you more and more and more. Because we're just here on this earth. We're doing our thing and we're going through struggles. And God says, I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and be courageous. I'm going to lead you and I'm going to guide you. Amen. I have a friend of mine that her mentor was with this pastor's wife in Texas. And years ago, when she was first starting ministry, the only thing that she really saw as far as a woman minister was Catherine Kuhlman. How many here know Catherine Kuhlman? A lot of the younger people don't, but Catherine Kuhlman had this incredible theatric entrance. If you haven't seen Catherine, you need to look her up. She had this incredible theatric entrance with these beautiful clothes that had long sheer sleeves, and she would walk in, and it was just this incredible anointed service. She came out of my great uncle's church in California, Melody Land Christian Center. And so knowing all the stories of Catherine Kuhlman and all these things, she just was such an anointed woman of God. But she really did make an entrance. So she would come in and she's like, "Have you been waiting for me?" And she would bat her eyelashes. And so my this pastor's wife, she was so mesmerized by Catherine Kuhlman. And so she finally got asked to come and speak at this church. And this was her first big engagement, that she was coming to speak at this church. And so she gets all dolled up and her friend's like, "Oh, let me help you. Let me help you. Let's get a dress like Catherine and let's do this and watch all of her videos." And so she does all of her studies and she gets everything together. And the last thing she's like, "Oh, I got to get the eyelashes." So she goes and she gets the eyelashes and she's sitting there doing her makeup and she says, "Oh, I don't have eyelash glue. Here, let me use this." And she pulls out super glue and she puts her eyelashes on. So here she is. She comes into the sanctuary and she makes her grand appearance. "Oh, have you been waiting for me?" And so she comes up and she starts ministering. And then all of a sudden she starts batting her eye and she realizes that her eyelash has fallen and the glue that was on her eyelash is now glued the bottom of her eye. So she can't quite see quite right. So she's like, "Oh my goodness." So she says, "Everybody stand up and close your eyes." So everybody stands up and they close their eyes and she's praying. And at the point where she was going to, you know, bless them all, she says, "Jesus." And when she did, she ripped her eyelash. And when it did, it all came off. Her entire eyelash came off. And she screams and the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, "Don't you ever copy someone else when I've called you to be who I've called you to be. God has called you in an anointing in a place that nobody else can ever be in." You know, Oral Roberts once said that he built the university and he did all these things, but the Holy Spirit came to him and he said, "You weren't the first person that I came to build this. You weren't the second person. You weren't the third person. You're the seventh person that I've called to do this. And only you are obedient." So if you're not going to be obedient to the call, God will find somebody else. But he says that it's not going to be easy, but he's going to be with you. He's not going to forsake you. He's going to give you great courage. Amen. So the fourth thing, say, I have to have faith. The Lord said that everything that you step on, I'll give to you. In other words, if you're man enough to step on it, I'm God enough to give it to you. If you're man enough to step on it, I'm God enough to give it to you, meaning that you have to have great faith. Every great man and woman of God, they've had to go through some struggles along the way. They've had to have great faith. They've had to have faith for their family. They've had to have faith for their ministry. They've had to have faith for their health. And so God said, I'll give it to you. You just have to step on the land. The just shall live by faith. I have given you the land to possess it, because it's your inheritance. It's your wealth. It's your gift as my child that I'm giving you this land. So once you take it, it's yours. Say, it's mine. My nephew's favorite movie growing up was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Yeah. Who's seen that? Yeah. It's a great movie. So, you know, the end of the movie where he's going through all these steps to get to the chalice and he gets to this big, great divide. And there's this huge, great divide and he's looking at his notes and he's looking at this huge divide and there's no steps, there's no bridge, there's nothing that connects the two. And it hits him, I gotta have faith. And what does he do? He takes a big step, and when he does, this path just leads. Well, that sounds kind of simple, but so many times that's really just what it is. You gotta have faith to take the first step. My parents' ministry, and if you come this week and you hear my dad, he'll tell you a lot of stories. My dad's a great storyteller. But there's not one thing that he has started and he has built that he's had money for. It was all by faith. And so those things and those callings and those giftings and those desires and those dreams that God's placed within you. It doesn't matter if you don't have the money. It doesn't matter if you don't have the money that you want to go to the school that you go to. You just got to step out. You got to take the first step because God's just waiting on you. You're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you. Amen. Amen. It's a generational blessing. God has given you blessings. Amen. Amen. You know, you're never too young to hear the voice of the Lord and to start walking in your calling. And you're never too old to fulfill the plans and dreams that God's called you to do. Growing up, I was in Sunday school and, you know, they would give you those color sheets that you'd color in Sunday school of all the different Bible characters and whatnot. So I would always have in my mind that Joshua was this young warrior that led the armies of the Lord over the Jordan to possess the land. But if you really research it, that was not the case. There's a historical book called the Book of Jasher. It was named in 1 Samuel and in the Book of Joshua. And it was a historical account of the children of Israel, the Bible, from the time of Genesis to the time of the death of Joshua. And it said that Joshua died at 110 years old. And he judged Israel and led the children of Israel for 28 years from the time that he crossed the Jordan. So that would make him 82 years old when he carried the children of Israel over the promised land. And so we go back to the scripture at the very beginning where God was commissioning Joshua at 82 years old and said, Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Hey, you can do this. You got this. I'm going to be with you. I'm empowering you to do all that you are called to do. This is yours. So don't ever be discouraged by God's time clock. God always has the perfect timing. He always has the perfect place for you to be. He always has the people that are going to be put in your path to help lead you and direct you in the place that you're to go. Amen. Amen. And the last one before I want to minister to everyone. It says you have to have inner strength. Say inner strength. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and go possess the land. As the second man, he was used for physical strength. But as a leader, you got to have that inner strength that you don't give up. You keep on ticking. Say, keep on ticking. How many runners do we have in here? Anybody like to run? Well, when you first start running, and you can contest to this, it's a process. It's not just you go and you run a marathon and you're good to go. You got to lead up to that. You got to build up to that race. You got to build up to that stretch. And so it's just like with your faith. It builds. And the more that you walk out in faith, it builds more. And you go through things and it builds more because God is always faithful. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's always going to be faithful to the callings and the giftings and the promises that he's given you. You have to stick in there. Why? Because God has given you this land. He's given you those promises. He's given you those things that he put within you long ago. And life is difficult. Family is difficult. Work is difficult. And struggles and things pop up and things happen. And sometimes it's not in the plan and purpose of God, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't put you back right on track, right where you're supposed to go. Amen. Amen. Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You know, so many times we go through life and we just think things are just going to fall on our path. And that's not the case. The Holy Spirit is such a gentleman that he guides and he directs just where you need to go. Amen. I was in Washington, D.C. last week, and I had a meeting at the White House, and I'm there with a lot of the Joint Chiefs, and I was there with our Vice President, And I was in a room of people and I was just paying attention and I was listening and whatnot. And I have a very good friend of mine who is, she gives counsel to, she's the background person. She gives counsel to a lot of people that are there. And so she's a good Baptist girl and she loves the word and she loves the Lord. And so I said, Carolyn, it's time that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's go. So I bring up to my room and we're just talking and we're praying. And I said, now, Carolyn, I'm going to pray for you because God's anointed me to pray for you that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit because God's going to give you boldness and he's going to give you direction like you've never had before. And it's not this weird mystical thing that everybody wants to think that it's so complicated. It's just this love language between you and the Lord. It's this heavenly gift that God's given you that it's just, you're praying in the perfect will of the Lord. And she was so shocked. She's like, nobody has ever explained it to me like that. She said, okay, let's go. And she was so eager for to be filled with her prayer language. And so she lifts up her hands and I said, now listen, I'm going to pray for you. And it doesn't really matter what, you know, what it sounds like coming out, but God's going to give you your own language and it's just between you and the Lord. So she starts, she lifts her hands up and she starts praying and she said, like, no, Carolyn, that's not what it is. I'm going to pray. And as I pray, the Lord's going to fill you with the Spirit. She lifts up her hands and I put my hand on her belly and instantly she was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Lord wants to do for each and every one of you here today. Whether you're filled with your prayer language, whether you're filled with the Spirit, God wants to give you an extra dose of that. He wants to give you an extra dose of his Spirit. This week, if you come to the conference, my father has seen hundreds and hundreds of angels. And so many times he had prayed to see those angels and he had prayed to see the supernatural, but the Lord opened his eyes when he started fasting in prayer. And it's praying in the Spirit, praying in your prayer language. So I want to pray for each and every person here this morning that wants an extra dose of the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord's going to guide you. He's going to direct you. He's going to open doors that you've been praying for. But you got to have faith to step out. You have to have faith to put yourself out there so that God can show up and show you that he's always faithful. Amen. Amen. I want everybody to stand. Everyone that wants prayer this morning, I'd like you to come down to the altar. And we're going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I come from a church in Kentucky, which I'm sure is the same here, that our focus is on prayer and the Spirit of the Lord. And so this morning, as we're coming up here and we're believing for something, we're believing that God is going to show up. It's an expectation. Say expectation. So you expect that God's going to fill you. You expect that God is going to anoint you. You expect his Holy Spirit to fall all over you in a way that you've never experienced before. So this is what's going to happen. Can I have somebody at the piano? This is what's going to happen. As we're praying, because everybody here that's in your seat, I want you to pray. And the scripture says an effectual, fervent prayer. So an effectual, fervent prayer is an out loud prayer. It's not a silent prayer. It's an out loud prayer. So you're not spectating from your seats, but you're praying for everyone down here. So I just want everybody to lift your hands up to the Lord. And I'm going to start praying. And the Holy Spirit's going to show up. It's going to show up in a way that you're needing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you that you're Jehovah to sit canoe our righteousness. God, Lord, I thank you that you're Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Father, I thank you that you're Jehovah Elyon, the Most High God. Lord, I thank you that you're Jehovah Shalom, our peace, in Jesus' name. And God, I thank you that right now at Hillside Church, your spirit is showing up right now. God, in a way that they have never experienced before. Father God, a filling to overflowing in Jesus' name.